You may have been excluded in some way, or forgotten that you're beloved. You could be an affirming parent of a gay child, or a family member, or friend, or ally, who has lost your community, been excluded because of your support, and needs to remember how beloved you and your child are. You could be someone who's LGBTQ and been rejected and shamed and condemned and hurt, and you wonder if you're worthy, if you matter, if you're loved. Or you could be someone who has excluded someone else, maybe because you have forgotten how loved you are. If any of that sounds like you, you're in the right place. Welcome home.
Would it be okay if I were to tell you that I am afraid someday? So I call you up and you call me down. Would it be okay if I were to lose it, but you stay the same most days? So I call you up and you call me down. Would it be okay?
Well, hello, and welcome to the very first season one, episode one of the Freed Hearts podcast. By the way, that music is our daughter, Hannah Cottrell, who goes by the name of Saint Sinner. And you can find her on Spotify, and her website is heysaintsinner.com. And that is one of her original songs, and that will be our theme song. And we hope you like that. So again, welcome. This is season one, episode one of the Freed Hearts podcast. I want to spend just a few minutes here for those of you who may not know that much about us to kind of remind you of who we are. My name is Robert Cottrell, and I'm the co-founder of Freed Hearts, and I'm here with
Susan Cottrell.
Right. I am really just the host. Susan is the heart and soul of Freed Hearts and will be the heart, soul, and primary voice of this podcast.
Not just the host. You're the indispensable host.
Well, I'm the indispensable host. Thank you. So let me tell you just a bit about who we are. Susan is an international speaker whose TED Talk has more than 1.5 million views. You can see that, by the way, at freedhearts.org. Outsmart magazine called her the mother of all mama bears. The Advocate dubs her their favorite affirming matriarch. She's a prominent voice for the gay community and their faith parents, who's been featured on ABC's 2020, Nightline, Good Morning America, on NBC News, and as a contributor on the Our Bible app. She's a public theologian, and through our nonprofit, Freed Hearts, she champions the LGBTQIA community and families with her authentic love as she challenges those of faith to love as the foundation of their faith. She spent 20 plus years in the evangelical church, the non-affirming evangelical church, as a master of arts in theological studies, and her blog and YouTube videos have millions of viewers, and her books, Mom, I'm Gay, True Colors, Radically Included, and Be the Love, are critically acclaimed. We have been married for
33 years.
And we have five children, two of whom identify as queer. Our kids are grown, ages 24 to 32. Yeah. So who am I? I'm Susan's husband.
Yay!
That's pretty much it. But I am also an author and a speaker, and I have more than 30 years' experience in nonprofit management. I was involved in the Live Aid Band-Aid projects in the mid-1980s and spent decades helping restore hope into the lives of kids with cancer and other life-threatening illnesses. I'm a singer-songwriter and worship leader and a musician who shared the stage with George Jones, the Oak Ridge Boys, Loretta Lynn, and many others. Yeehaw. I am, again, the co-founder of Freed Hearts, and you can find out about that at freedhearts.org. I have a special tenderness in my heart for dads of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender children. So that's kind of who we are, and our goal for this podcast, or the style that we're going to do, is to have it be an intimate, genuine conversation between the two of us about love and inclusion. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
It will be mainly just the two of us, but we may have some surprise guests every now and then, and we're excited about that as well. So we've been doing this since 2013. This will be our eighth year. It'll be our 11th year since our first daughter came out, and we'll talk more about that later. But why a podcast? Why, Susan, after all these years, why are we doing a podcast?
Well, because I have a lot to say about a lot of things. I come from being an evangelical leader to a fierce advocate and ally, as well as affirming parent. And I've seen a lot, and I've learned a lot, and I've loved a lot. And I want to have a serious talk about crucial systemic issues in the world: social justice, privilege, racism, queer issues, oppression, gender, legalism, patriarchy, issues we don't seem to talk about in the church. And why is that? And what can we do about it? I want to change the human conversation on love and inclusion. And together, maybe we can change the world.
That sounds cool. I like that.
I like that. That is the tagline of our podcast, Change the Human Conversation on Love and Inclusion. And I think, you know, as Susan said, there are so many things that we want to talk about. One thing that we'll share and that you'll learn about us is that in this process, our heart has grown and our compassion has deepened for any group that is marginalized and oppressed. And so our eyes have been open to all these other issues of race and social justice and privilege and all these things. And we're so excited to talk about that. And we just want to change the human conversation on love and inclusion. And that also means change the conversation that we have about ourselves. And it really starts there. And I would say that this podcast is for anyone who has experienced exclusion and has forgotten in any way that they are beloved. This could be an affirming parent of a gay child or a family member or a friend or ally who lost their community. They were excluded because of their support, and they need to remember how beloved they are and how beloved their child is. This could be someone who is part of the LGBTQIA plus community, who's been rejected and shamed and condemned, and who wonder how God really feels about them. They wonder if they're worthy, if they matter, if they're loved. And this could be someone actually who has excluded somebody else. Maybe you're someone who has been on the other side of that, and you have excluded someone in part, maybe because you've forgotten how loved you are. So if you fit anywhere into those categories, this podcast is for you. Our story, Susan, who are we, kind of? How did we... Yeah. You know, where have we been in our faith, and how did we get started in here?
Well, we were in the church for many years. We did not grow up in the church, but we came to it honestly. Our two first kids were born. They were little, and we had some needs. We needed community, and we had some other needs. And the people we met were from a church nearby, and it was a really good church, and we got involved there, and it met a lot of needs for us. They loved us. They were community to us, and we learned what it meant to love in community. But the more we went, and we moved churches because we moved cities, moved states, the more the undercurrent we realized was really about rules. And you don't know that more than about relationship. And you don't know that until you transgress the rules. Then you're like, oh, I see. They're just invisible until you step over them like a laser beam. and then you're like, oh, okay. And the final one being, you know, oh, our child has come out. And now we're not going to fit in here anymore. So when I looked at that, and I looked at the stories of Jesus and who he was to people, I thought, what the church is being and who Jesus is are very different.
Yeah.
And what's drawing is what we read about Jesus, not a place to have rules in a church. That's not what draws people.
So what first drew us to the Christian faith really was community.
Yes.
Yeah. And we, like you said, we never thought that we were legalistic. We were part of the non-denominational evangelical church for all those years. We never thought of ourselves as legalistic. We would never thought it was about the rules, like you said. But until you break them, you don't ever think that. Right. We used to call it what? Not legalism, but...
Legalism light.
Legalism light, which is basically kind of do your best for God, so to speak, and try really hard. But it was all about kind of our own effort.
Yeah, and it's embarrassing even to think about it, much less to say it, because it was so invisible to us. It's like realizing you're racist and you didn't ever think you were, or you're sexist and you didn't ever think you were. We were, you know, homophobic and didn't think we were. And we were legalistic and didn't think we were. And, you know, they say that the church, the idea is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And that's everything we read from Jesus, is comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable. But for the church, from our experience, this part of the church is more to comfort the comfortable and afflict the afflicted. And that's heartbreaking. That's what we saw through this whole journey.
So we were kind of never really, we were plugged in and we were leaders and led groups and things like that. But we were always a little bit on the edge, yeah?
Yeah.
We always loved the example of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus. And we were sometimes accused of taking grace too far and things like that. So we always wanted to focus on the heart connection more than the behavior. And but when you're inside that box, you know, you call it box Christian or box church. Mm-hmm. When you're inside that box, you're so protected that
right.
you look
from
around.
From other worldviews.
Yeah, you look around and everybody believes what you believe. Everyone listens and watches and reads the same thing that you do. And you just feel so normal.
Right, right.
You know, but what happens when you open the box? I mean, that's the fear that we have in there is, you know, there's definitely, and we'll talk a lot about this because I think this is at the core of a lot of these issues. It's us versus them.
Right.
And
who know God, who have accepted Jesus, and we understand, and then everybody else.
Right. And that could be other denominations, other religions, other races, other gender. It goes...
Anybody who doesn't fit in that box. I call it box theology. We call it that because everything fits neatly in the box. And anything or anyone who doesn't fit gets left out or chopped off.
And what also is an underlying message is that just maybe, you're not lovable if God or people knew the truth about you. So there's this fear that maybe deep down inside we're not worthy. So we have to do our best. We have to stay on the right side of the us versus them category or we're in trouble.
And you said why the podcast. And why the podcast is that there are so many people in this position that we were in. We were not the extremes. We were right in the center of that or, you know, more on the gray side. But we didn't know what we didn't know. And there's so many people who are in this situation. They don't know why their church community doesn't look like Jesus, but they're in it. And it's seems too scary to step out of it. Yes. And so we want to show that journey. How did we come from where we were to where we are now, which is broadly yes. inclusive of everybody, which Jesus was, and instead of where we were. And so because there are people that want to take this journey, they come into our mom's group every day, our online mom's group and dad's group, and they want to take the journey. They just don't quite know how. So we hold their hand and walk them into it in the parents' groups. And we want to do that with this podcast, too. Mm-hmm.
The vast majority of people, and we've connected with hundreds of thousands of people, have a very similar journey. They feel that they came through the non-affirming church or a part of that. And again, as a parent or as someone who is in the LGBTQIA community, and they have those conversations in their head about who they are, who they're supposed to be, what makes them worthy, what makes them acceptable. They've been in some way, this journey of either being in the gay community or being a parent of a child who is, has called those beliefs into question. And some of those are core beliefs. And our goal is that you don't need to stay there. Our goal with all of this is to help reconcile all of those beliefs. Again, so you know how loved you are, which frees you up to love others.
Right. Which was that's the main point.
Which is what we're all supposed to be about.
And let me say too that the big question that always comes is, if I'm wrong about one piece of this, if I'm wrong about one piece, then what else am I wrong about? And you're afraid, it's really like a Jenga puzzle. You're afraid you pull out one piece, the whole thing will collapse. It's an intuitive fear that emerges. And so I want to say no. Things do start coming apart, but in such a way that is freeing, not devastating. So it takes courage to go on this journey, but man, it's freedom.
Yes.
It is at the end of it. And the Bible says, you know, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free.
Yeah.
So for those who ascribe to him, this is really an exciting journey.
It also says a couple of other things. It says that God will shake things until all that remains is the unshakable.
Yeah.
And that to me goes hand in hand with another scripture that says that the enemy comes against the simplicity that is life in Jesus. This is supposed to be simple. Jesus' walk was simple. And religion, the church, has gotten so far from that. That our goal is to change that whole conversation, bring this back to be all about love and inclusion.
Yeah, and let me be very clear. We don't say this from the perspective that we want people to become Christians or remain Christians or have any particular beliefs like that. Atheists come to me and we have great conversations. So it's not about that.
No,
and Muslims,
that's right,
and Jewish,
that's right,
people. So it's about that the Christianity that people claim has been devastating for many people and so hurtful, and they don't know it. And so those who are participating in it don't know it. So it's to free you from a false Christianity. That's the point here.
That would describe most of the people who come to us and who may be listening here, is that they've experienced that kind of exclusion, that kind of lack of love coming from basically the Christian church, the non-affirming Christian church in some way. And those are the wounds that we're trying to help heal, not for the sake of the church or anything like that. Yes. It's for, again, to free your heart, i.e. freed hearts, to free your heart to love and be loved as you deserve.
I feel like we need a story.
You have a story?
Well, I feel like we need a story, a little bit of to connect on.
Tell me a story.
I mean, how this emerged, really.
Well, I was just about to go there.
Oh, great. You are the consummate host.
This is episode one.
We're working on all this. So I was going to say, so we were in this church for 20 years, and then something happened. And we had never... We don't recall one time that we ever heard a sermon about homosexuality from the pulpit or anything like that. It just was
no comments, no conversations,
nothing. Evidently, there was not a single gay child in our 20 years of church. I'm kidding there. But so all of a sudden, something happened in 2010. What happened?
Yeah, well, I was minding my own business, cleaning the bathroom, and I get a call from Annie, our oldest, our second oldest child. And Annie called for one of our nice long conversations. I always loved it. And then she said, "I have to tell you something. I think I'm bisexual. I'm attracted to girls. It won't go away. I've prayed about it. I've resisted it. I've suppressed it. It won't go away." And I remember that moment thinking, oh my gosh, what will become of this child of ours? What will become of her faith? What does this mean about our faith? Will she be bullied? Will she be loved? Will she have what we have with a partner? And then I also thought, we'll never be the same in the church again. And it hit me that that is a real indictment of the church that is meant to be, they call themselves family, your home, where your safe place, and all of that. But suddenly I knew we wouldn't be family. It wouldn't be safe. And so that right there was the beginning of a very eye-opening journey of discovery. So, yeah.
So what happened? So when Annie came out, and what did you say to her? What was our response to her initially?
Well, she was resisting it and trying to resist it. And she said, I don't want to say that I'm this, because then I'll be this, you know, and I said, how can I support you in that? And I'll tell you, that was our response, because that's what we thought was expected, was wanted. We knew by the church, and we thought God wanted that. That's where we were at the time. And so, you know, I was wanting to support her, in that. And then she had resisted for a long time before she ever told us, right?
Yeah.
So a few months later, it was only a few months later, she graduated from college, moved from California to New York. And she called me later and she said, I'm living true to who I am now. I'm dating women and I'm more at peace with God than I've ever been. And I knew enough in my own journey with God that that's the end game, is peace with God and peace with who you are. And so I said, I'm with you. I support you in whatever you need. Now, I knew there was a journey ahead for me to understand the theology. And for her, she hadn't really come around on theology, understanding, why is this such a big deal?
And again, the importance to that is so you know in your heart how God feels about you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
To find peace, absolutely.
Yes, to find
peace. We didn't want to feel like we're just saying, no, God, we're going to do what we want. I wanted to feel like, you know, what do you want? What are you asking? How can we reconcile this? And that was the journey. But you do that from within the relationship. You don't cut the relationship off and then find out all this stuff and then say, oops, I'd like to have you back. It's pretty late there, and a lot of damage is done by then. So you keep the relationship. But I started this courageous journey. It's a courageous journey. And, you know, we started it. I'm the one who plowed into understanding it and read things and watched videos. And then, you know, you were right there and you said, I don't care who she loves. I just want her to be happy.
Yeah, for me it was a little
awesome.
Bit different, and that's why I think we do really well as a couple in this, is that for me, I had my love for my daughter and I had my faith, and those things were never in conflict. All of a sudden my daughter comes out and there's this conflict, and I couldn't understand that. And I knew that the source of the conflict was not my love for my child, so it had to be somewhere in my faith journey. Now that's the moment of decision. Some parents go, get out of the house. I disown you. I'm choosing my faith. Or so they think. And that's a disaster. Another choice they sometimes make is they say, okay, all right, well, you're my child. I'm going to love you. And I guess I'll kind of forget my faith. And that's a better choice, but it's not where you want to leave people, because again, they have these nagging thoughts. And the child knows that too, that they've kind of sold their soul, so to speak, and what does God really think? And then you never end up with a parent who becomes a fierce advocate and an ally and stands up in church and schools and their community and says, no more, things have to change. That happens when you go on a journey and you reconcile those faith issues. So I went on a journey to try to figure out the source of that conflict. We've talked about in the past about how, you know, we opened that box and all heaven broke loose.
That's right.
We opened that box that we had God in and all heaven broke loose.
and we changed.
We did.
Our hearts changed. And we'll get into this more, especially in the next episode, as far as how we got here. But I will give you a little tease that our love for each other, our love for our children has grown. God has gotten so much bigger than they ever were before. Our hearts have deepened in all the other areas that we talked about before. And we are now fully affirming because of our faith, not in spite of it.
And we look more like what I talked about at the beginning, that many in the church look very different from what we see in Jesus. We look we're in the thick of the church, honestly.
Someone just commented on a social media post, "Oh, Jesus is so much like you, Susan."
Really? Oh my gosh, I didn't see that.
We say that humbly. We're not.
Yes.
This is not one of those John Lennon moments, please.
Please don't start writing letters. Yeah. That's very sweet, though. I know what they mean, exactly.
But just the other day, we had someone, a troll on social media, say some nasty things, and they started using the hashtag Susan is, and they were trying to say Satan, but they spelled it S-A-T-I-N. So it's hashtag Susan is Satin. So I like that. Smooth and silky, and I like that. But anyway, yes.
So we get it from both sides is what we're saying.
Well, again, that's the simplicity of Jesus. And when Jesus was here, everything that he stood against could be summed up when you look at modern day religion. It's about the rules. It's about exclusion. It's about us versus them.
Yeah.
And he had a heart and told us to have a heart for the least of these. And that means anyone that has experienced exclusion.
Yeah.
Anyone.
The least powerful, the least visible.
Yeah. Anyone in the them category.
Yeah.
So
just summarize, if you would, Susan, about how our church, how our friends responded.
Well, I set up coffee. That's what you do often, is set up coffee with my couple of closest friends individually to tell them about my daughter, because this is a big thing, and this is the kind of thing you share with your church friends, with your community. And the response I got was, "It's a sin and you can't accept it." And I'm telling you, that is a very jarring response. It may sound benign to you if you haven't received it or if you've said it, but it is not benign. It was a jarring thing to hear. And I thought, several people said the same thing apart from each other. I thought, is there a manual that you've read this from? But it's not a sin. Thank you very much. It's my daughter we're talking about, and it's me. And we're in a relationship to navigate. I can't just say, "Oh, sorry, Annie, we're no longer in community until you get this sorted out." It doesn't make any sense. And also what was telling is nobody said, "Oh my gosh, how are you doing? How are you?" They know the impact of this in the church. How's your daughter doing? They didn't say that. And so that was telling too. That's what I mean by, if push comes to shove, it's not about relationship, it's about rules. Because that's exactly what they went to. And they didn't know any better. You know, I could have done the same thing in their shoes. But that's why we're doing this, to help people know better.
Yeah.
Because it's very damaging. That's a very damaging thing to say.
You know, and it's interesting, but in the 10 years, almost 11 years since that happened, we have not heard from almost any of the group that we would have considered our closest friends.
Exactly right.
No one. It's like we just disappeared.
We were cut off.
And someone,
we didn't fit in the box. We were cut off.
And the reason is, someone said shortly after she wrote your first blog post, someone kind of told her what was going on.
She said, one person wrote back and said, she was very kind. And she said, "You're kicking up quite a bit of dust around here with your blog." Now, this was after my first post, and we had left the church. But I thought, oh, I bet I am. It's not a benign subject. It's not a just a neutral subject is what I mean when you bring it up in church. There are a lot of opinions. So that was very interesting. But we were sent a couple of, you know, your child can change articles, you know, but and that'll be another topic for another episode. But not anything just checking on us.
Why do you think it was kicking up dust? Why do you think the church is not willing just to have this conversation? Why it's so scary?
Because their theology is packaged around a set of beliefs that extend far beyond just love God and love others, which is what Jesus said. And it's also what the Old Testament says, the Jewish Bible. And it's what the Quran says, love God and love others. And but we complicate it with a bunch of rules because that allows you to have a whole system of hierarchy, of leadership, you know.
A lot of power there.
A lot of power at stake and a lot of money and a lot of controls.
Well, that's why the box has to be sealed so tight. And that's why one thing that you said early on that I really liked in this episode was you said, you know, why don't we talk about these issues and of same-sex relationships and patriarchy and gender and racism in church? Why don't we talk about them? Because they're a threat to the box. And when you open the box, then they lose control. And this us versus them doesn't become so binary. And in all of these issues, and they intersect, the intersectionality of these issues is significant. This the binary of the us versus them. And
we'll go into each of these topics in future episodes. That's the beauty of this, is there's so much to talk about.
So we didn't hear from almost anybody who we would have considered close friends, except for the occasional, oh, I think you'll like this article or this, watch this. But what's interesting is over 10 years, we have heard from hundreds of people with whom we went to church who have said, hey, I know we weren't that close, but you know, your story caused me to think.
Yeah.
I love what you do. My child has just come out to me.
Uncle's gay, my family threw him out, and I'm so glad you're doing this work.
Yeah.
And we've heard,
a
lot of that.
And it's to have the conversation. And that's the point of this podcast, is we want to have the conversation, to go on this journey with you. And again, our desire is if you have experienced any kind of exclusion, any kind of self-doubt, wondering if you are... if you're lovable, if you're loved, if you have excluded others, if you wonder about your child or your friend or your family member, or if you are loved, if you are lovable, if you are beloved, that's the goal of this podcast, is to answer those questions.
Yes.
And to talk about all these issues in the church, why we don't talk about them, and what we can do to make a difference here. So we hope this podcast is for you. We really do. And we love, I think we're going to love doing this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
This is fun. And we're going to keep them relatively short so you can listen to them quickly. So that's kind of it for episode one. Do you have anything else to
say?
That's
it. I just want to say, if you are LGBTQ, you will find some real healing in here. If you have a faith background, you'll find some real healing in here and real peace and affirmation. And if you're a parent on this journey, you will find that this is a safe journey to take. It's scary, but it's not scary. It's only in your mind scary. But once you start, you find that God meets you there and will be here with you. So take heart.
Yeah. So thanks for tuning in. Our next episode is going to be all about how we got from being evangelical leaders to affirming parents and fierce advocates. How the heck did we get from there to here? And we'll share a lot more detail in the next episode. So until then, remember, above all else, love. And remember that you are
beloved. Absolutely beloved.
See you next time.
Would it be okay if I were to tell you that I am afraid someday? So I call you up and you call me down. Would it be okay?
You've been listening to the Freed Hearts Podcast. We have extensive resources and vibrant community for you at www.freedhearts.org. Just come say hello. And if you have questions or issues or comments about the podcast, things you'd like us to talk about, reach out to us at podcast@freedhearts.org. The music is provided by Hannah Cottrell, our daughter, the Grammy-nominated Saint Sinner. And you can find out more about her at heysaintsinner.com. Please share this, subscribe, and follow on your favorite platform. And thanks for listening.